Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you by the support of our listeners as our listener support campaign continues. You can support the show on a one-time basis at support.greatdetectives.net, and that is our focus today. If you do opt to support us during the listener support campaign and you send along a donation of $20 or more, we'll send you an ebook of your choice and an additional thank you gift. The ebooks, of course, coming from the list of books that I've written that are available. So just go to support.greatdetectives.net to view those. I do want to thank those who have gone ahead and contributed in support of the program. Thank you to Hazel and to Lori. And also I want to be sure and say thank you to John. Thanks so much for your support. It's truly appreciated. In addition to going to support.greatdetectives.net, you can send your donation via the Zelle app to box13 at greatdetectives.net, or you can mail in your donation to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913. Boise, Idaho, 83715. That's Adam Graham, P.O. Box 159153, Boise, Idaho, 83715. Among the available thank you gifts we do have is at the donation level of $25 or more, we'll happily send you a great audio drama from Colonial Radio Theater to your iTunes account. So it's important that you provide your iTunes email address. For a donation of $25 or more, we'll send you the King Solomon's Mines, Gettysburg, and their adaptation of The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury. It's an excellent adaptation, really a very lengthy one, and just a great, great production. And at the donation level of $50 or more, we'll send you, if you're in the U.S., a copy of Big Finish's Sherlock Holmes, The Perfidious Mariner. It's a really fine production with Sherlock Holmes and the Titanic, a really great mix. Also, if you are in the U.S. or Canada, for a donation of $50 or more, I'll send you an autographed copy of one of my books, including Tales of the Dim Night, Fly Another Day, Powerhouse Hard Pressed, Ultimate Midlife Crisis, or Speed Trap, as well as Slime Incorporated. And that's with a donation of $50 or more. A full list of available thank you gifts is at support.greatdetectives.net. All right, well, now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Fortune. Original air date, February the 23rd, 1954, and this one is A Sitting Duck for Death.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
You ever wonder what a bull must feel like when they let him into the ring? The bars go up, he's free, he rushes out figuring, I've gotten away. And there in front of him are 50 guys with pitchforks and a man with an oversized knitting needle. He looks around and there's no way out. Last week I found out what that feeling is like. It all began one evening when I hit my flat for a change of drapery. Yeah?
Rocky?
Yeah.
This is Mitch Moore.
Yeah, what's up, Midge?
Listen, Rocky, I just got a phone call from Carl, the organ grinder.
The grind? You're crazy. He's in a tank at Dannemora for 900 years.
I'm telling you, just called me. Must have busted out.
Midge, it's a gag. Somebody's trying to give you the memes.
It was the grinder. I know his voice.
Okay, it was the grinder. What did he say?
He says he's got a list with three names on it. The three guys what sent him up.
Meaning?
First me, Mitch Moore, second you, Rocky Fortune, and then Harry Bowman. He means it, Rocky. He's going to get us.
Look, Mitch, stay where you are. Lock the door. I'm going to check a friend of mine at headquarters and see if the grinder busted out, okay?
Make it fast, huh, Rocky? My blood pressure ain't so good, and if the grinder gets here, I ain't going to have any blood pressure.
I hang up and follow my nose over to the Irish clubhouse for a talk with my pal Hamilton Finger of Homicide. I find his homely face behind a pair of size 14 Brogans on the squad room desk. Hey, Sarge.
Huh?
It's me, Sergeant. Rocky, snap out of it.
Oh, hiya, Rock.
Catching a few winks, huh?
No, I was just meditating. What brings you?
I just had a call from Midge Moore.
So? Who's Midge Moore?
You remember about 5 years ago there was an ex-wrestler named Carl the Grinder?
Sure. You had something to do with sending him up, didn't you?
Yeah, Midge Moore and me was coming home from a bar one night when we see this ape beating up an old peddler trying to rob him. We yelled for the cops and then we testified against him at the trial.
Wasn't that a fourth offense?
Yeah, he went up for the rest of his natural. Only before he went, he swore he was going to kill three guys. Midge Moore, me, and Harry Bowman.
Yeah, that's right. Bowman was the assistant DA who sent him up. He went rotten, didn't he?
Like a deadlock's in a steam bath. He's in charge of political corruption at the Fourth Ward.
So what about this call from Midge Moore?
He says the grinder called him.
You don't say. Where from?
Not from the State University.
Oh, that's a big help.
You're playing coy, Sarge.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. The grinder busted out this morning. We just got an APB on it a couple of minutes ago.
Holy Moses.
You don't look so good, Rock.
Yeah, you should see me in my other suit. The one they're going to bury me in after Carl the Grinder gets through with me. I dive out of the precinct and into a subway station, and 5 minutes later, I'm pounding up the stairway to Midge Moore's flat, which is in a neighborhood even crummy in mine, if that's possible. Yeah, it's possible. Midge. It's me, Rocky. Let me in. Midge, let me in. It's funny, the door's not locked. Midge? Midge, where are you? Uh-oh. Don't bother to answer, man. Midge Moore is lying on his face with his neck broken the way somebody breaks a match and throws it away. There's only one guy I know strong enough to do this to a man. Carl the Grinder. Sergeant Finger, please. Sarge Rocky. Look, I'm up at Midge Moore's. Yeah. He's laying here like an unmade bed. You better come up. Now, I'd like to stay, Sarge, but unfortunately my name is next on the list. I'm going to take a short vacation in Outer Mongolia or someplace until you guys put the clamp on the grinder. So long.
Rocky. Rocky, wait.
Huh? Oh, hi, Mary.
Rocky, I'm glad I found you. I was just coming to warn Midge. My husband's on the loose. He's going to kill you.
You're a couple of minutes too late. Mitch was visited.
He's dead?
Dead enough to convince the average coroner.
Oh, Rocky, you've got to get out of town.
You're telling me.
Carl says that...
Wait a minute. Did he call you?
He came to the place.
He came to...
Yeah, he just walked in. He looked awful. He made me give him one of my brother's suits. Said he had some business to take care of. He'd be back for me later. Said if I let out a peep about him, he'd kill me.
Oh, he don't joke about these things, honey. Maybe you better take it on a fly by yourself.
I wouldn't know where to go. I thought maybe I could talk to him, reason with him. Rocky, he's out of his mind. He's crazy to kill.
You're a brave girl to stand up to him, baby, but it ain't going to get you anyplace. Remember the last time he decided to use you as a punching bag?
I remember, Rocky, but he's still my husband.
Baby, he's a fourth offender, and he's psycho besides. Now get smart and get to the cops.
I guess you're right.
You bet I am. Beat it now.
Oh, where are you going?
Right now, back to my flat, pick up a suitcase and a couple of bucks. After that, I'm going to find a big rock and crawl under it till lover boy gets caught.
But what about Harry Bowman? Carl says he'll get him, too.
The way that Ward Heeler's been trying to make this neighborhood hit the jackpot, I wouldn't mind too much. Look, the cops know Carl's after Bowman, and you can be sure Mr. Bowman has his muscle boys doing 4-hour shifts. Come on, baby, we got to make time. Do like I said.
Bye, Rocky.
I'll see you around.
Be careful.
Don't worry. I I zigzag up to my place in the fourth ward, which is Harry Bowman's private political kingdom, and scout the joint to make sure Carl the Grinder hasn't beaten me to it. I slip up the fire escape and into the hall. I make quick like a bunny over to my door, turn the key, and ease it open. Something tells me something is phony. But what happens next is so crazy, I check my cigarettes to make sure they didn't send me the kind with the built-in dreams. Flat as a six-piece brass band with a big banner that reads, "Yay, Rocky." The Fourth Ward Political Club salutes you. In front, about 25 freeloaders with party hats and noisemakers are climbing the walls. I'm beginning to think I've stumbled into my own nightmare, so I do a quick about-face and dodge out into the hall. I get two steps when a gorilla in a bowler hat mousetraps me.
Hold it, Rocky.
Hey, let go of the arm. You'll bend the biceps.
Where do you think you're going?
Away. Maybe for good.
You ain't doing nothing of the kind. You ain't hospitable.
Listen, will you do me a favor?
Anything, Pally.
Tell me what this thing's all about.
Why, sure, Pally. It's a celebration, see, in honor of you.
What did I do?
You've been selected by Councilman Harry Bowman, President and Vice President of Fort Ward Political Association.
For what?
How should I know? You just been selected, that's all.
Now, look, Herman.
Call me Moose. That's short for Morris.
Okay, Moose. I want to know just what this
thing... Here comes the boss. Maybe you'd better ask him.
Well, Rocky, old pal.
He was trying to take it on the lam, boss.
What? Run out on a celebration in his own honor?
Bowman, what is this? What are these clowns doing to my flat?
Why, haven't you heard, Rocky? The Fourth Ward Political Association decided to honor Mr. Average Worker, the man who represents those hard-working, self-sacrificing individuals who made my election to office possible by their unstinting sacrifice.
Me?
I selected you myself.
Look, Bowman, I didn't even vote for you. Now, what's the gimmick?
Listen to him, Moose. He's so modest, he doesn't even want to admit how hard he's worked for my election.
Touching, ain't it?
Yeah, that's the spirit we've decided to salute, Rocky. Yes, sir. But let's go in and join the happy throng.
I don't want to join no happy throng, Rocky.
Rocky, this is only the beginning. Why, we've planned a gala celebration in your honor. A parade in an open motor car through the streets of the Fourth Ward with banners saluting your name, a testimonial dinner at the firehouse, and finally, in recognition of your hard work, a miniature gold-plated ballot box.
Stuffed with votes for Bowman. Listen, Harry, I appreciate your publicity gag, but you'll have to find another schnook. This boy's leaving town, and if you ain't heard, I'd advise you to do the same thing.
Why?
Carl the Grinder busted out of Dannemora. He's got a list with three names, Midge, me, and you, in that order. And if you don't think he means business, try looking Midge Moore in the face. You'll have to stand behind him, because that's the way his head faces now. So call up the celebration and let me get my suitcase.
Just a minute.
Yeah.
You ain't going anyplace, my friend.
I just told you...
You don't have to tell me. I got a phone call from the Grinder this morning.
Then what's all this jazz about? Let's get under a rock.
Me, maybe, but not you.
Listen, you moron. This bum's loaded for bear. He don't... Hey... I think I'm beginning to get the picture.
Yeah, that's my point.
I've been duck hunting.
Good. And you know it takes a decoy to catch a live duck. Carl the Grinder is the live duck,
and I'm the decoy.
He's clever.
Only one thing.
Yeah?
To hunt ducks, you use a wooden decoy.
Oh, we're out of wood, so we're using you.
What happens if I get killed?
Tough.
What happens if I don't?
I figure it this way, Rocco, man. You're next on the list. Just want to make sure the Grinder finds you, so I'm giving you a little publicity. If he shows and kills you, my boys take care of him. In the meantime, I'm leaving town for a short spell. Take care of him. We'll see that he enjoys the party. So long, Mallard.
Bowman slips downstairs and Moose eases me into my flat with a .40 caliber cannon in my backbone. The party is going to be a beaut, I can see.
All right, Sheriff. Quiet down. All right. Now, here it is, you freeloaders. We're going downstairs for a motorcade over to the firehouse where we get free eats and beer. Courtesy of Councilman Harry H. Bowman. Can't be here on account of urgent business. Pile on downstairs and into the sanitation trucks, which Mr. Bowman has placed for your disposal. Okay, let's go.
Let's go, Fortune.
Must we?
We must.
Look, Moose, I'll never get a block sitting in an open car like a clay pigeon. Be reasonable.
Okay, I'll be reasonable. I'll give you 3 seconds, or else...
Else nothing. I'm gone.
Be my guest.
We pound down the stairs, and just as we hit the sidewalk, a couple of reporters and photographers gang up on us. At any other time, this would be flattering, but right now it's murder.
Hold it, Mr. Fortune. I'd like a picture for my paper.
Sure, pal. What paper?
Son!
Go ahead. Shoot any time you're ready.
I'll do that.
No sooner is the word shoot out of my mouth than I feel those icy fingers clamped in my heart. The photographer sticks his head under a black cloth and points the camera at me as I remember two very important items. One, news photographers don't work under a hood. Two, the Sun went out of business a year ago.
Hold it.
Moose.
Smile.
Hit the dirt, Moose. It's the Grinder. Grab him.
Look out. He's getting away.
Watch it there.
No luck. He got away in the crowd.
Yeah, it's too bad.
He missed you with that Tommy gun, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have better luck next time. Okay, hop into the roadster for the motorcade.
Hey, who's the guy with the beard behind the wheel?
Him? That's Ivan, the boss's new chauffeur.
Looks like a fugitive from a shredded wheat plant.
Don't insult him. He's very temperamental. Hop in.
You all ready?
Let's go, Ivan.
Hold on.
Hey, do I have to stand up? My legs are tired.
Stand up. We want the Grinder to be able to find you.
What happens if I make it to the firehouse?
You get a free dinner. Testimonial.
What happens if I don't make it?
Same dinner. In your memory.
Yeah. Hey, Ivan, how about speeding up a little?
The boss say go slow.
Thanks. Someday I'm going to have the pleasure of pulling out them whiskers hair by hair.
Good joke, huh? Kill you.
Where did you get this creep? At a House of David basketball game?
Boss hired him for the job this morning.
How far now, Moose?
Not a block. So far, nobody shot you.
Swell. I may even live till 6 o'clock.
What time is it now?
My watch says a minute to 6.
You're nuts. It's after 7. Okay, Ivan. Pull up.
Everybody inside the firehouse for chow.
Minutes later, I am upstairs at the Lincoln Pump and Hose Company, number 4. I get the place of honor at the head of a long banquet table where everybody can get a good shot at me. At my left is Moose with his ever-loving Luger aimed at my digestive system, and on my right is Ivan with his whiskers trailing in his chowder. Knishes are served, and the freeloaders fall to like a pack of starving wolves.
You crumb bums. Clamp down whilst I make the presentation to our pal Rocky. The boss, Harry Bowman, couldn't be here on account of urgent business, so I'm doing it in his honorable stead. All right, quiet, quiet. Rocky, old man, stand up here while I read this and no monkey business. Rocco Fortunato, in recognition of your untiring. Like you said, untiring efforts in behalf of the 1953 political campaign, I present you with this gold-plated
miniature.
Like you said, ballot box. Yeah! All right, Sheriff. Okay, everybody.
All right, come on.
Boy, what a spread. How come you ain't eating, Rocky boy?
How do I know the Canisius ain't poisoned?
I'm eating them. Ivan's eating them.
How do you know they ain't poisoned?
Ah, go on.
Think about it. Maybe the Grinder got to the delicatessen. Maybe he came up here before we got here and fixed the anchovies.
Huh?
What's wrong, Ivan?
These anchovies don't taste so good, Moot.
Hey, they don't. These Canisius got a peculiar flavor, too.
That's probably your imagination. What's it taste like? Kind of bitter, maybe?
Yeah, bitter like. What's wrong?
Yeah, it's probably nothing.
What is this bitter?
Nothing. Fatten up, eat up.
You told me I'm going to break your neck.
Well, is it kind of like somebody put too much pepper in it?
Yeah.
That's it.
What?
Therapeutic acid.
What?
Poison.
Holy smokes.
Your stomach feel kind of funny like?
Yeah. What do we do?
He's a jolly good fellow.
Fortune, you gotta save me.
He's a jolly good fellow.
Rocky, pal, what'd I take? Get me a doctor.
We'll give you a testimonial
dinner. Listen, you see this gun? I'll kill you if you don't tell me. Oh, my stomach. Oh, help. I'm poisoned.
Here, take it easy,
man. I gotta get out of here. I gotta get to a doctor straightway.
Well, I guess I'll be going too.
Yeah, I don't think so, Mr. Fortune.
Because I'll put a bullet in your belly to move.
Holy smokes, you ain't no Rusky.
And I ain't no moron either. I saw you dump that pepper shaker into the Knishes a minute ago.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm an old man. If you watch real close, you'll see me dump the rest of it.
Right in your eye.
See you around, boy. While Ivan is still sneezing, I duck out across the hall of the locker room where the firemen keep their clothes. I get in and slam the door behind me. As I turn around to look for a window...
Hold it, Jack.
I see one of the firemen, a guy about 8 feet tall with a handlebar mustache. Oh, man, can you help me? Listen, there's a killer named Carl the Grinder after me.
I heard of him.
He's wearing a phony beard like a Rusky. He'll be coming in here in a minute.
Wearing a phony beard, huh? You sure you're all right?
Look, I'm straight in the head, no kidding. I got to get a place to hide.
I got a gun?
A howitzer.
Come on, let me in. Open up.
Sure this guy is Carl the Grinder?
I'm sure.
Okay, get in that lock and close the door.
Here?
Hurry up. Keep quiet. I'm going to let him in.
Okay, Fortune. Who are you?
I'm me. Who are you?
I'm looking for a guy. Kind of thin, about medium height, dark hair.
Oh, yeah? Maybe he's hiding in your beard.
I'll take a look around.
Sure, help yourself.
Yeah, thanks.
Try this.
Peeking out through the grill work of the locker, I feel like a halibut doing 6 months in a sardine can. The big fireman waits till Ivan walks past him, and he picks up a fire axe and lets him have it from behind. Ivan falls on his beard, and I feel like I'm in Madame Tussauds for a couple of seconds.
Let me out!
Sure, pal.
Whew, you...
I had to hit your friend.
You didn't hit him, John. You killed him.
No kidding. I must have used the pointed end of the axe.
Let's pull out that phony beard and get a look at him.
Yeah. I'd like to see what Carl the Grinder looks like myself.
One, two.
What's wrong, pal?
Hey, this ain't Carl the Grinder.
Who is it?
Harry Bowman.
The guy who used to be the assistant DA?
Yeah, he was using me for a clay pigeon. I guess he wanted to hang around and see what happened, so he put on a fake beard and a phony accent.
That's the guy that sent the Grinder up the river, ain't it?
It's the guy. Now the Grinder's only got one to go. Me.
You, huh?
Yeah, it's too bad you cheated him out of Bowman.
Oh, I didn't cheat him, pal. I just changed the batting order a little.
Yeah, I guess you put another... Hey.
Yeah, pal?
Who are you?
Well, let me take off the handlebars, pal. There you are.
The Grinder.
Yeah, the Grinder. I figured since you was going to be at the firehouse, I'd make like a fireman. I didn't think it was going to be this easy.
I didn't think it was going to be this hard.
Move back.
A pleasure.
I'm going to do this with my bare hands, Fortune, the way I did Midge Moore.
You're going to have to catch me.
Shall we dance? You're trapped, Rocky, like a rat in a corner.
You would like to sit this one out, would you?
Uh-uh.
I guess there's nothing much left to do but throw my Sunday punch. Must be Monday. Nothing happened.
If that's your best punch, Rocky, you might as well quit now. Okay, Rocky. We'll dance now.
Wait! My throat.
Nice and slow.
Carl!
Hold it, Grinder.
You ain't getting me, Carter.
You okay, Rocky?
Fine.
Carl, is he?
I'm afraid he is.
You're better off, Mary.
Yeah, I suppose I am. I went to the police like you told me, Rocky.
Had a hard time catching up with you.
Swell. I thought I was the easiest man in Manhattan Borough to locate. Come on, Mary, let's get out of here.
Hey, Fortune, you must have dropped this.
Huh? Oh, yeah, my gold-plated ballot box. Thanks very much.
I better phone in about this. What time you got?
6 o'clock. No, no, that can't be right. It was 6 about an hour ago.
Maybe you forgot to wind it.
Yeah. It's ticking all right.
It's kind of loud for a wristwatch, ain't it?
Yeah, even for a cheap wristwatch.
Hey. Huh?
Get away from the window, Sarge.
What?
Move!
Hey, why'd you throw that ballot box out there? You'll... What was that?
Looks like somebody stuffed the ballot box. I guess the grinder was trying to make sure Bowman's party lost the election.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast include Jack Nestle, Barney Phillips, Kay Stewart, Jack Mather, Tony Barrett, and George Pembroke. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts. Andrew C. Love directed. To tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
You know, Park Avenue is a mighty fancy place. I've been finding this out since making like a process server for the 14-carat legal eagle Perry Shane. But next week, I'll tell you how I got a little surprise. I found out the street can be mink-lined, but there's still plenty of skunk at the intersections. See you around.
Enjoy Fibber, McGee, and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, another enjoyable story. The idea of someone escaping jail and coming for vengeance on the guy who sent him up is kind of an old chestnut in this genre, but they managed to come up with a lot of unique spins, and just really, this is such a quirky series. I love how this works out. And a very interesting script, and well performed by Frank Sinatra as usual. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. All right, listener comments and feedback. Joey writes in, I realize it's part of the fun of the show, but Detective Finger never believing Rocky gets a little old. I mean, Rocky always proves he was right. Maybe if the show lasted long enough, their relationship would grow like Inspector Faraday and Boston Blackie. Well, in Sergeant Finger's defense, he did believe Rocky this episode, but I think it would be just extremely absurd. I was kind of waiting for him to accuse Rocky of murdering the first person who was killed. He'd be like, yeah, you did it, Fortune. You know, the guy is out, but you found the body and you're reporting the body, and maybe it was all just a cover for you to murder this guy. I was really ready for Sergeant Finger to go there, but thankfully he was a bit more reasonable. I do think his name is actually a bit of a pun, like he's always putting the finger on Rocky. Or whatever crimes committed. I think that's kind of what they had in mind when they wrote him. So whether they would have ever changed that is a good question. But thanks so much for the comment, Joey. And then we have an email from Lori. She writes, I work as a captain on one of the freighters on the Great Lakes, and I listen to your podcast for years. I'd like to see a greater variety of your detectives. Spice it up a bit. Thank you for many enjoyable hours of listening. Thanks, Lori. That sounds like a really interesting job, actually. I think you do have a good point about our programs and variety. And I was just kind of calculating things and thinking about that, is that in a recent time, we haven't had a whole lot of variety. Of our series that we have running, five of the six of them have been continuing on for 70 weeks straight. And there are good sides and bad sides to that. On the good side, I think whenever a show ends, there are always some folks who are disappointed, sad to see it go. But we can get into a bit of a rut. I do want to assure you, Lori, that variety is on its way. We are at this point, we have one more week of Night Beat. And then we have five more weeks of Rocky Fortune. And after tomorrow, we'll have six more weeks of Richard Diamond. So we will be changing up the entire first half of our lineup. So in 7 weeks, you will be listening to Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons, followed by a series that we have newly discovered episodes for that we played previously, and then Rocky Jordan. So I hope that will meet some of your requirements for variety, and I look forward to hearing some new shows. Thanks so much for the comment, Lori, and for the donation. All right, that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Richard Diamond, and then next Tuesday, another episode of Rocky Fortune. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.